Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, we'll be reading responsively verses 21 through 29 of Exodus chapter 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this privilege we have of coming to your word. Lord, we thank you for your word which you've given us, for we know that it's truth. And Lord, we know that in this room tonight there are many needs, but we know, Father, that you're able to meet each of those needs as we listen and obey your word. Now, Father, again, may we have hearts open to it, for I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sometimes overlooked miracles in the Exodus story is found in verse 22 of our text. It says, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What an amazing miracle. One of the commentaries, I was telling Brother Tim Thursday night, one of the commentaries in my office says that what probably happened was that there was a sandstorm, which happens a lot in the month of March, and that the sandstorm, when it says that it was so dark they could feel the darkness and it was thick, that it was only on this side of the Nile and the Egyptians couldn't see because of the sandstorm. But they could, of course, because the sand wasn't blowing up over. Oh, that's baloney, isn't it? Aren't you glad you believe in a God who can make light in this house and dark in this house? Amen. And that's exactly what happened. I've been thinking a lot lately, an awful lot, about light and about darkness. In particular, of course, the idea of spiritual light, which is illustrated in the physical. I read this week by C.F. Bundy. He said 8 things about light that we know. Number one, the nearer we are to the source, the brighter the light appears. Number two, light reveals. The brighter the light, the more revealing it is. That's why some of your loved ones don't want you to come and stay with them during the holidays. If you're a pretty strong, outspoken Christian, that light just might reveal something. I'll speak on that a little bit later. Or it could be that you're a freeloader, I don't know, in your case. Number three, light reflects more clearly from a clean surface. Number four, light reveals uncleanness but cannot itself be adulterated. Number five, light is nothing to the blind. They cannot see it nor appreciate it. So the Bible talks about not throwing your pearls before the swine. Number six, a person walking with his face away from the light walks in his own shadow, hence in darkness. Number seven, a person walking toward the light walks in the light. Number eight, light cannot dwell with darkness, nor darkness with light. Young people, that's something you ought to remember when you're trying to date someone who's lost, who's not saved. Now hear me carefully. The light and the darkness in Exodus chapter 10 was obviously literal. This was a literal light and a literal darkness. And in fact, it was so dark, the Bible says, that these Egyptians were afraid to leave their houses. Now, I've been in darkness like this. Some of you have been in a mammoth cave in places where they turn the torches off and the lights off, and it's scary. You can almost feel the weight of the darkness. And they were so afraid, and I don't blame them a bit, they simply would not leave their homes for 3 days. It was as if an entire nation of these people were suddenly and totally struck blind. And you can imagine the terror and the fear, the paralyzing effect that this thick and this total darkness would have on these families. On the other hand, the Bible also says here that there was light, and if you don't think this is a spiritual illustration, then I don't think you could see the text. It says that there was light in the dwellings of the children of Israel. God allowed them to have light while those who were the true Egyptians had total darkness. And that also was a literal light. Literal light, literal darkness. And yet, when we come, for example, to the book of Psalms, when we come to many texts in the New Testament, you realize that God, who caused this miracle of judgment in Egypt, had far more in mind than just the literal application. And that, in fact, God wants you and I tonight to understand the very powerful, the wonderful truths about light and about darkness. You know, everybody knows that without light, life as we know it would not be possible. I mean, not only would you not be able to leave your home for 3 days, but everything that is alive would eventually die. Life could not exist. It's essential to life. And yet we also know that light is a great mystery. I love to read about in some of the science journals about light because it still continues to be one of the great, great mysteries of science. To Einstein, it was one of the great, great mysteries. And nobody really understands this wonderful creation of God that is called light. It is a creation that has almost infinite spiritual applications for all of the children of God. And I remind you of this. I remind you that light did not begin in Genesis chapter 1. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 1, you read that God created the light in verse 3 before he created the sun in verses 14 through 16. So, Pastor, how can that happen? How can there be light before God? God can do anything. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. And the Bible says God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening, the morning were the first day. And you say, "Pastor, how can you do that without the sun?" Well, if that's a mystery to some scientists, what would they say about Revelation 21:23, which says that that city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to lighten it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. So, you see, if there is light before the sun was created, and we know there was because God is light, and there would be light after it's destroyed because God himself is light. Now, I don't completely understand all of that, but I know that he's the light, and I know that he's eternal, so there's always been light. John 1, verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or appreciated it not." 1 John 1, 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That glory of God in Revelation chapter 21, the Shekinah glory that we read about in the Old Testament, that's literal light. The light on Mount Sinai that made Moses' face to shine, that came from God himself, that was literal light. The light on the road to Damascus that Paul saw, that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was literal. So I'm simply saying that when the Bible here, and throughout the Bible, whenever it speaks of light and of darkness, it is a very powerful, powerful illustration and powerful eternal truths for us to understand. And so we read, for example, in Proverbs, one of my favorite texts, Proverbs 4. The Holy Spirit calls the path of the righteous a path of light. It says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, you got saved, you had a little light. We get more and more and more until we see the light of God himself. And I want you to notice that that perfect day is the time and the place when God says there will be no more night. Praise God for that. Now again, God uses light and darkness to teach us some of the most profound lessons about life and eternity and our own Christian walk. These Egyptians, you know, the historians tell us, and we know this to be the case, that they worshipped the sun. They called the sun god Ra or Re. In fact, they had a song about it. Re, a drop of golden sun. I think that was theirs. But they worshipped the sun. They worshipped the creation instead of the creator. And they built temples unto it. They offered sacrifices to it. They prayed to it. And again, worshiped the creation instead of the light himself. So imagine their dismay. Now, God did this with all of their little false gods he used in the plagues. But imagine their shock when suddenly their sun god was gone. I mean, he went out. Not for 5 or 6 or 7 hours, but for 3 days. And at the same time, they could look across the horizon, and there all their slaves, they had light in their dwellings. From the very beginning, God has been teaching his people to understand all of the lessons of darkness and of light, and then to love the light, and to walk in the light, to live and grow in the path of God's light. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What exactly is the path of light? I mean, how in the world do we as God's people today have light in our dwellings, and this ought to be true in your house, this ought to be true in this church, and I don't mean physical light, but how can we today have light in our dwellings in a world that's filled with darkness and it's getting darker? Well, we know that when it comes to spiritual light, there are 3 sources. The first source of spiritual light, according to the Bible, is the Bible itself. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, if you want spiritual light, if you don't want to be in darkness, if you don't want to walk in a world of darkness and grope around, the Bible lets us know that right here we have a lamp. Now, I will tell you that it's a lamp unto my feet. In other words, if you take a lamp, in those days, they would be those lanterns that you would hold out, and you hold those out, and basically it would illuminate maybe 4 or 5 feet around you, and it wasn't like airport landing lights. You couldn't see what God wanted you to do maybe next month or next year. That's what all Christians want. But you could see what God, the step God wanted you to take today. Amen? And so that's the Bible. The Bible is a light in the darkness. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There are all kinds of people in the world today, all kinds of voices. There are all kinds of noises that want to get your attention and your mind. Paul said there are many voices throughout the world, and all of them screaming and shouting for your attention, telling you young people how to live, where to go, what to do, how to think, telling us how to raise our children, telling us how to build our marriages. But you know, the vast, vast majority of them are, as Jesus said, on this broad road to destruction. So in other words, the information may sound good, but it's information. The stuff may sound profound and appear to be brilliant and pious, as in the case with some of these Pharisees. But what does the Bible say? The Bible said, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and both shall fall into the ditch." Why? Because when you're blind, you're in darkness. And so the world says, and are saying a lot these days, there is really no ultimate truth. You don't know what's right for me. You know, someone said that to me not too long ago, about a month ago. They said, "You don't know what's right for me." And you know what I said? I said, "I do know what's right for you." Boy, they didn't like that. You don't hear that in our society. And I said, only because I know this book. And the world says truth is relative. There are no absolutes. The world says that truth must change with society. And so for them, it does. After all, if you're in darkness, it really doesn't matter which direction you start walking in. It doesn't matter your choices in life. It doesn't matter where you are headed. And so it doesn't matter the steps that you take. Fortunately, beloved, we have a lamp in this darkness, and we have a light that guides every step that we take. After Sunday school this morning, one of our young people came to me, and he asked me a question. He said, "Pastor, when you speak, when you teach, or when you preach, how do you approach that?" And I said, "What do you mean by that?" This was this morning. And he said, "Well, do you talk down to people? Do you talk at people as equals or as peers? Or what?" And I said, "Well, I never try to talk down to people. But when you're teaching and preaching the Bible, you do speak with a sense of authority. You have to." And I don't get up here and I don't get in Sunday school and I say, "You know, what do y'all think? Is it right? Is it wrong? Let's talk. Give me your opinion. Let's share." You have to speak with a sense of authority because, folks, I know that this book is true. And I know that this is a light in the dark world. And I told this fellow, I said, the scribes in Jesus' day, the Bible says they didn't teach as those who had authority. Do you know why? Because they taught the traditions of men. Now, if I had to teach what a lot of guys are teaching in churches. I wouldn't be very authoritative either. If I had to get up and teach about this and that and fluff and marshmallows and stuff, well, then it would be marshmallowy. But you know, we have a book that's absolutely true. And when Jesus preached, they said, he doesn't preach like the scribes. He preaches as a man with authority. Why? He preached the Word of God. And we have that book. And folks, these are very, very dark days. And in this kind of darkness, we need this lamp, and we need to use it every single day and to trust it wholeheartedly, not to say to our kids, well, you know, maybe you ought to try. Maybe this will work. And, you know, the Bible says you ought to consider. No, just tell them, thus saith the Lord. And if you do it, God will bless you. If you don't, he won't bless you. This morning, someone in the church, one of the visitors came to me, and they told me, and I won't give you the name of, there's a Hall of Fame, very well-known golfer. And they were in his home this week. And they said that when they were in the home, they noticed that there were four Bibles there that were engraved with each one of their names on it, the golfer, his wife, and their children. And they said that those Bibles had been given to them by Payne Stewart before he died as a gift. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, and she said, you know, I'm praying for them that they get saved, but they don't open those Bibles. Now, folks, a Bible, you say, is that light in their house? Do they have light illuminating? No, they don't have light in their house. Now, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The moment they opened that, and those words began to go into their eyes and in their head and in their heart, that is spiritual light. Let me ask you a question, folks. Is the light on in your house? Is the light on in your heart? What in the world good is it if this light sits on the dashboard of your car all week long? You know, there's a whole stack of Bibles back there. It'd be fun to go back there and bring those up here and read the names off and ask you how your devotions have been. I know you've got another one. I'm just kidding. But you know, what good is a light or a lamp if it's not in your hand illuminating your path? Have you ever tried to look for something out in the yard when it's dark, maybe at night and it's dusk? You lost a ring. I remember Louise lost a contact. We were playing football. She lost a contact and it was dark. She never found it at night. And you know, you've been out there in the dark. You look and you look and you look and you look and you just can't find it. And in the morning when the sun comes up, boom, there it is, right next to your footprints. There's just a vast difference between trying to go on without light and then having the light there to illuminate everything. Why do we want to grope around so much? Young people, why do you want to bump your head, make mistakes, maybe even ruin your life, and constantly make the wrong decisions when all you have to do, maybe even put yourself in danger, when you could do things in the light of God's Word? I was driving down one of those back roads in Tennessee years ago in the mountains. And all of a sudden, the headlights in my car went out. And I mean, this is up in the mountains where there are no lights, nothing. And the headlights went out, just boom. Totally dark. I was blind. And you talk about terror. I was driving about 55. The roads are like this. And on this side is a cliff, and on this side is the side of the mountain. And within a few seconds after they went out, they just came right back on again. And I tell you, I was thanking God for light. Because I was headed for sure destruction. I was about on the way going over the cliff. And some of you young people in this room, you're headed for destruction because you're not carrying the light with you. You know what America needs? I think most of you do. And I'll say it again, what our young people truly need. It's not what they're getting. What they truly need is truth. Not what makes them feel good, not what makes them my buddy and my pal. But they need the truth. And we lie to our young people if we tell them that, yeah, they can play around with a little bit of alcohol. We lie to our young people when we tell them that fornication is okay. There is no such thing as safe sin. Period. We lie to our young people when we tell them that money can buy them some happiness. Because all those things are contrary to the light of God's Word. We especially lie when we tell them that they can find their own way. Make your own decisions. It is a lie. And thank God there are some young people in this room that knows it's a lie. And they're smart enough not to let the Hollywood crowd or the rock music crowd guide their steps, but have put their trust in the eternal, unchangeable Word of God. You know, you go to the dictionary, as I did, and you look up the word light. Here's one definition. It's the first one. It said, an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet, and X-rays, and traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 186,281 miles per second, and specifically the part of this range that's visible to the human eye. Okay, that's light. But you know, in Webster's dictionary, after that one, if you look down, there's a one-word definition, and it's truth. There are three sources of light in the world of darkness. Number one is the Bible. And beloved, I'm telling you, you have a lamp. But it's not enough if the lamp sits there on a shelf somewhere. It's not illuminating anything. We have a book. And young people, you have this wonderful word. Read it and then trust it. If it says don't take that step, then don't take it. Whatever you do, don't take it. How much light do you have in your path? Because the Bible is one source of light, but there's a second one. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. So not only is the Bible a source of light, but Jesus Christ himself is a source of light. So then the question obviously is this, are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Are you in fellowship with the light of the world through prayer? You see, folks, there are a couple things that light actually does in our lives. First, it shows us the way, as we mentioned. It shows us our little steps we're supposed to take. But you know, as I read a moment ago, it also reveals. It reveals the flaws. And it reveals the dirt in our lives. One of the reasons why Christians don't want to really fellowship with Jesus is because of where they would be taking him with them. And when you know that you're fellowshipping with the Lord and you're walking with God and you just spent time with him in prayer and in supplication and praising him, you know, that light is there and it reveals if you're a hypocrite or if you're doing something wrong. When Peter saw the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he was ashamed. And that was because in the darkness, Jesus illuminated his heart. Scripture says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, that's obviously true. That's even true of spiritual darkness, physical darkness as well as spiritual. You know, nightclubs are dark, or so I've been told. When we were in Chicago, I'd go tavern preaching, and it would take you a good 4 or 5 minutes just to get your eyes adjusted because it was always dark in there. And there was a reason it was dark. I've noticed a lot more of these pumps today at gas stations have a sign now that says, prepay after dark. Why after dark? I mean, why do you have to prepay after dark? Does light make people more honest? Well, yes. Yes, it does. What happens to people when the sun goes down? What happens in New York City when there's a blackout? Everybody knows. What happens is the same thing when spiritual light is ever taken away. All you have to do is look at our public schools. You've got all of these candidates running around bumping themselves together. What are we going to do about our public schools? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they'll never do the one thing they should do. You take spiritual light out, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so the question is, your fellowship with the light of the world himself, as a child of God, you can choose to spend your life in darkened corners, in the roach-infested, disease-ridden restaurants of human relationships, and human reasoning if you want to. But you know what? I like to, when I go somewhere, I like the lights on. I want to see what I'm eating. Amen? You know, for about a year, I used to work as a janitor at one of these 4-star restaurants near Chicago, Illinois. And it's a place called Courtney's Restaurant. It was a big, big, big-time restaurant. And you talk about the Ritz. I mean, there were celebrities that would come there, and you would have to drop about $150 a night per person in this place. And somehow or another, my boss got the contract. And I remember going into that place the very first night, and it was so dark. I mean, we get there as soon as the place closes, and it was dark. And they had these little candles on the tables and so forth. But it was amazing because what these big fancy people didn't know was that there were bugs everywhere. And food particles. And pieces of filet mignon wedged in the seats for several days. I mean, we turned the lights up. And I asked my boss, I said, how in the world did this cleaning company just let this go? And he said, well, the problem was, because see, he had to work a week with them to learn the account. He said they never turned the lights on. And so here was this unbelievable filth. Now think about that when you go to a restaurant tonight, wherever you're going to go, and ask them if they turn the lights up when they clean it. Light doesn't make the dirt. It only reveals the dirt that's already there. And you know why the homosexual crowd and the abortion crowd and the pornography crowd, you know why they run like cockroaches when somebody mentions the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He is the light. And He exposes sin. And the reason they hate the light is that it's Christ they actually hate. And that's one of the reasons why Christians are hated. And folks, we ought to walk with Him. We ought to fellowship with Him. In prayer and praise and supplication. So that regardless of how dark it gets out there, and it's getting darker and darker, and I don't mean physically, but spiritually it's getting dark in the sense of the sin and the spiritual condition of this society, it ought to be that no matter how dark it gets there, we have light in our dwellings. I'll tell you what. I've been in homes on visitation before. And many of you have as well. And I've been in homes, and I'm thinking of one in particular over here. Was an apartment building where this couple asked for me to come by, and they had been involved in the occult and pornography. And it was dark in there. I mean, the spiritual darkness could be felt. And I did not feel the presence of God or the power of Jesus in that place at all. And I could understand the oppression that that family felt. And I could understand why they were going through a divorce. But I've also been in homes where Christ is loved and welcomed as Lord. And I tell you, the light is evident. And it's evident in everything. What a vast difference. You see, folks, John didn't say if we see the light, if we know the light. He said if we walk in the light. And there are a lot of light experts, a lot of light scholars, a lot of people have been to light college. A lot of people love to sing about light, talk about the light, maybe use the light's name in vain. But they don't fellowship with the light. Because, folks, if you're going to fellowship with Jesus, you have to walk with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't just walk anywhere. You walk with Him. And the Lord Jesus, just because you want to go off in this direction or that direction, doesn't mean Jesus is going to follow you. He said, follow Me. And then if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you'll have that fellowship. And that is why the very first thing that Saul said when he saw the light and was blind on the Damascus road, Saul said, Lord, what would You have me to do? Obedience is walking in the light. Not just saying, oh, Jesus, I love You, I love You. Okay, let's go to the bar. That's modern day Christianity. That's not fellowshipping with Christ. We sing the song, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So what does it mean to walk with Jesus? Do what He says. If you love Me, keep My commandments. Pray. Spend time with Him. Obey His Word. So, Pastor, you're not going to build a great big crowd with that kind of message. Look, I'm not trying to build a crowd. The Bible says that Jesus, the path of light, is a narrow road anyway. And I know good and well that this Wednesday night, the bars will be more crowded than our Bible study. But I also know where Jesus will be. And I know where the light will be. And I know that those who walk with the light will also become light in a dark world, as God has called us to be. And it brings me finally to the third source of light. Number one is the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. Number two is the Lord Jesus. I am the light of the world. This is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. But number three, the third and final source of light that you ought to have in your life is other Christians. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And you know, that is the reason, one of the reasons that the Lord Jesus formed and founded the local New Testament church. It is a place where more light is added into our lives. So that, look, if every dwelling on your street is in spiritual darkness, your dwelling and your home and your family and your heart is filled with the light of God. I've been saved. I'm 42. I got saved when I was 12. I've been saved 30 years. It's good, huh? And in those three decades, all of my friends, all of my associates, all of the people that I want to be with, they've all been Christians. And you know, there was a day, maybe a two-month period after I had gotten saved, when I was down here, where I was tempted to spend some time with those that were not light. And I never felt right about it. I never felt good about it. I didn't fit. What communion hath light with darkness? And beloved, listen to me. And I'm going to say this again to the young people. Your date will be your mate. And you have no business dating someone who is lost. Or for that matter, if a Christian is not walking in the light, you have no business dating that person. And so through the years, after that period, that small period of time, sophomore year in high school, I decided that God's people are my people. And there is a vast difference, and there will be a vast difference in your life, depending on whom you spend your time with, your fellowship with. Ephesians 5:8 says, "Ye who were sometimes at one time darkness, but now you're light in the world, walk as children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Say, "Oh, I got to go around and reprove them." All you have to do is shine. If you live a holy life, your light will reprove them. He says in the last line of that text in Ephesians, walk as children of light. And one of the ways to do that, beloved, is to walk with the children of light. You say, "Pastor, it's getting darker and darker and darker in this society." It is. But did you know that even during the dark ages, those were rough times, we spent a whole semester studying the dark ages, and I have to tell you, that'd be a rough time to be alive. But even during the so-called dark ages, there were always these great pockets of light. God's people, who were the light of the world. And you know, I have to tell you folks again, the Christian life is so simple. The Bible, prayer, and church. It's simple. You just stay in the Bible, stay on your knees, stay in church. Three sources of light, and you'll be walking in the light. Father in heaven, thank you again for the truths that, yes, there is darkness in the world, but there is light in our dwellings, beginning in our own hearts as you shed it abroad. And I pray, God, that we will be true to the light, and also, Father, that we will reflect it from you to those who need the light. There are many around us, Lord, who are in darkness, and may we have compassion on them, though not having fellowship with them, certainly not a part of their works. May we at the same time, Father, recognize that we were in their place, and that by the grace of God, there go we as well. And Father, I pray that this church will be a light. Thank you that you have given to us the three great sources of spiritual light. May we embrace them all, always. We'll give you praise for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.